On the line with me, Anita Raphael. Anita, nice to have you with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
We want to spend a little time, Anita, talking with you, because not only are you the authority on the Gilfeather Turnip Festival, but you are also an authority, being an art critic and an art writer, about the wonderful book and exhibit known as For the Love of Vermont. And this is an art exhibit that has taken on a life of its own this year. It is, if you haven't seen it or if you don't know it by this name, once Anita describes it, you're going to know exactly what we're talking about. Tell us about For the Love of Vermont.
This is an amazing once-in-a-lifetime exhibition. And I know that's a cliche to say that, but I'm going to say it anyway. This is the first public showing of the largest private collection of paintings of Vermont that has ever been shown, as far as we know. It is 50-something works being shown at Bennington Museum on Main Street in Bennington, and nearly 200 works being shown at the Southern Vermont Arts Center in Manchester. So the show is in two parts because there was no museum big enough to hold the whole thing. And all of this art belongs to the man who is the proprietor of the Vermont Country Store, Lyman Orton. He's been collecting this art for 45 years. And again, this is his private collection that he's showing for the first time.
And if you have probably seen articles and pieces about it this year, and once you start to see these amazing works of art, you know exactly what Anita's talking about. They are breathtaking. They are definitive. I mean, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that this is Norman Rockwell-like in that it sums up the essence of what Vermont looks like and what we hark back to every time we think of Vermont, when we return to Vermont, when we come home to Vermont. This is what we think it looks like. And whether or not it still looks like that or not, this is what we believe in our hearts and what we know. And just to see this captured on canvas like this is just amazing.
Yeah, most of the paintings date from between about 1910, 1920 to 1960. So they are paintings of an era. There's a few contemporary paintings. There's a couple of paintings that are earlier by James Hope, who was a 19th century painter. But most of these artists were born a little before 1900. A great many of them studied in New York City at the National Academy or the Art Students League. And then they would spend a season or two, or sometimes every year for 30 years in Vermont and do these paintings. And most of them have been in private collections before Mr. Orton bought them. And so even then, they had never been seen in the public. So and there are primarily landscapes, a great many farm scenes, and a tremendous number of paintings of working Vermont. Mm. So sugar houses and logging operations and sawmills and just, you know, the way Vermonters earned a living, you know, before the era of the 1950s and 1960s tourism. So they tell a story of Vermont that really has a basis in reality as to what, you know, life was like, you know, before the mid-20th century.
Yeah. Who were some of the other artists, Anita? You mentioned James Hope. Tell us some of the other artists.
Well, everybody will recognize the name Rockwell Kent, and there are several paintings by Rockwell Kent. One of my favorite artists in the collection is a woman named Marion Hughes. She had a studio in Pownal, and she was also one of the supervisors of the WPA Arts Project.
Really?
And her WPA work is reflected in the kind of paintings that are in the exhibition. Another one of my favorite artists is an artist named Bernadine Custer. She did beautiful watercolor and pen and ink drawings of the area around Londonderry and South Londonderry. There are many examples of her work. Another one of my favorite painters who came to just paint the snow, he didn't come and paint in the summer, he came and painted in the winter, was Aldro Hibbert. He had a studio in Jamaica. He spent his summers down on Cape Ann at Rockport painting the sea and the ocean and the sailboats, and he would come up here in the winter and paint these just spectacular winter scenes of covered bridges and barns and you know, and sugar houses. Just an absolutely exquisite painter of snow.
Huh. It's amazing the idea, and you summed it up so well when you said that it oftentimes these works of art and these portraits are of people making their living, which gave way to, and I just kind of made this association, when the tourist industry really got going post-World War II, the attraction was for people to come and actually look at the people making their living doing this.
That was the whole premise of Vermont Life magazine. We're Vermonters. This is how we live. This is our church suppers. This is our tractor pull. Our oxen pull at the country fair. And it was the whole premise of Vermont Life magazine. And so this exhibition is like Vermont Life magazine, only in pictures.
That is the best description, Anita Raphael. That it is. That's it. And we still yearn for that, don't we? I mean, it's manifesting itself in a lot of different ways, and the pandemic turned everything upside down. But we're yearning for that.
Well, you know, I've gotten so familiar with the artwork and the way that these painters painted and their different styles that sometimes I drive around Vermont and I go, oh, well, that definitely is an Audre Hibbert when I see a winter view. Or I'll come down the valley into Manchester, you know, from Bromley and that big view that you have coming down the hill. And I'll say, oh, well, that's definitely a Wallace Fonstock painting. So I started seeing the landscape of Vermont in terms of all these paintings that I became so familiar with working on the book and working on the exhibition. So it's still there. You just have to become sensitive to the beauty and the light and the landscape in a different way. And these paintings help you do that.
You know, you're so right. And you put it into words much, much better than I. But I've had that moment in different parts of the state where you're coming, as you say, you're coming down the hill on this particular road or that particular road. And you say, ah, yes, this is it. I'm not quite as conversant with the particular artist to say, oh, yes, this is this style and what have you. But, you know, I'll use expressions like, oh, yeah, there's the money shot right there.
And the Chamber of Commerce photo.
That's the one,
well,
yes.
It's interesting because Mr. Orton has made a point of trying to find the locations of as many of these paintings as he possibly can. And he takes pictures of the paintings and then goes out, like, say, for example, up in Dorset Hollow, and he tries to find the exact spot where the artist set up his easel and relate that to the exact view. And we've gotten pretty good at exactly finding where these artists painted, where they set up their easel, which view did they, you know, have. And we even found cases where an artist threw in a church steeple here and there that wasn't really there.
Really?
Just to make their painting look a little more interesting.
I love it.
Yeah, it's fun to go out and try to find the exact locations of these paintings. And you can, you know, except for the things that have been torn down. For the most part, we know where most of these scenes were painted. And there's just so many beautiful scenes of Mount Equinox, the Green Mountains, the Taconics. It's just, you know, you get excited about Vermont all over again when
That's
you see this
it.
Show.
You're so right. Now, you just have a short time to come and see this exhibition in one place. Tell us the time frame. Tell us how much more time we have left to see For the Love of Vermont.
You have plenty of time. Yeah, the exhibition is open until November 5th. So both shows, the one in Bennington Museum and the one at Southern Vermont Art Center, the last day will be November 5th. And I urge you to go online for theloveofvermont.com. You'll find some images there to give you a little taste of it. You'll find links to the two museums so you can check out their hours and their admission. And any other little things that you need to know about directions of how to get there. So I encourage people to just go for the loveofvermont.com, and it's a good little sneak preview of the shows.
You will love it, absolutely. And if you're looking for a little one-day taste of everything, literally, there's still time for you to head out to the Gilfeather Turnip Festival going on in beautiful downtown Wardsboro until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Anita Raphael, it has been so delightful to talk to you, and I hope we get a chance to do it again. Thank you very, very much for being with us.
Thank you, Bruce. My pleasure.